All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
My God, is that Tyler Dunn's music?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, not only are we at a holiday here with Thanksgiving tomorrow, but it's also an anniversary for Tyler and his still new website, golongtd.com, 1 year ago. How'd you decide between anniversary and birthday? You're a wordsmith.
Oh, man, you're coming right in with the fastball right. Question. I don't know. That's a good one. I'll go with birthday. I'll go with birthday. We're turning one, so yeah, thanks for that. It's really exciting. You know, launching this thing a year ago, wasn't really sure if people wanted to sit down and, you know, read for 20 minutes as opposed to scrolling through a Twitter feed for 20 minutes. But thanks to everybody here in Western New York, especially, this baby's definitely. Yeah, I don't like the word venture or project or any of that. I mean, this is here for the long haul, not going anywhere. So huge thanks to everybody here in Buffalo.
Good point.
Sweet.
Good point on those words, because they sort of imply short term or like shelf life, right? Project.
Right.
That it's iffy or something.
No, this is my job now. This is job.
Totally.
This is my career. So good for you, Tyler. Congrats.
All right. Well, happy birthday, teammate.
Happy birthday.
Thanks so much.
Anniversary and Thanksgiving all at once. Well, one of your first pieces, if not your first, about Josh Allen and the Bills. I mean, I know you've written a lot about them at golongtd.com. Just sort of as we've done here, like sort of set up this year, you know, and everybody sort of knows in short, like this is a big year and a different year for them to try to live up to very high expectations. And for a while here, Tyler, it's felt like they were doing that. But it's a long season, and lately it feels less like that.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have been breaking it down, just the style of team that they've built. It seemed to be perfect, right? I mean, add all these receivers, you know, not necessarily needing big, beefy linemen or a big-name back. It seemed like that's where the game was going, you know, with Mahomes and Kyler Murray and Josh Allen and Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, like all these quarterbacks changing the game. Like you saw front offices all over the NFL. Okay. They went ahead and they drafted smaller linebackers, quicker linebackers, smaller DBs. And that I would have agreed with you. That seemed to be in vogue. And if you did anything but that, you're a dinosaur. But this is why the NFL is so great. Like there's smart offensive people out there that looked at that and said, all right, screw it. We're running the ball, baby. We're running it 30, 40 times. We're going to run it right down your throat. And the Bills aren't built like that. So they just aren't. I mean, it might sound harsh to call them soft, but that's kind of what we're seeing right now in different ways, whether it's, you know, the way they were built, the way they play. It's a team where if the getting's good, right, like it was last year, If they're gonna play a team like that San Francisco game, the New England game, they get up by a couple touchdowns, boom, it's over. They're winning by 30-40. But when the getting's bad, they just don't have the mental fortitude or the physical fortitude to punch back. And I don't know. To me, it's an indictment of coaching and how they're built. And at this point, you're going down with Josh Allen. I don't think you just flip that switch. Like you can't just flip that switch and start becoming it something that you're not. Like they're gonna win a Super Bowl with Josh Allen throwing the ball 40 times. Yeah. That's their best shot right now.
It's interesting, Tyler, because it's really two different things, right? Like on offense, they're not built to run the ball, and teams are defending them differently. And Kansas City is seeing this too. I almost don't want to say too high safety shell, because it's been said so many times that everyone's probably rolling their eyes now when they hear anyone on the radio say it. So they're not built to run the ball, and in that way they are. If finesse means soft, then fine. Like on offense, that's how they're built. on defense, I don't know. I know they wanted to rush the passer better, and they used a lot of assets the last couple of years to really shore up that defensive line, and you know, but I don't think you set out to be soft on defense, right? I mean, that's not the idea. They wanted to be faster to the quarterback, and so they're not loaded with guys that are great run stuffers, and they're missing Latule, who really is their one classic example of that. So, like, on defense, they couldn't take a punch last week. There's no question about that. But the offense is what the offense is, right? I mean, just because Indianapolis mm-hmm. is running the ball and you can't stop it doesn't mean you have to run the ball. You just need to have your passing game work.
I just don't really think they played, you know, many teams, or beaten many teams, many, many strong rushing attacks this year. You know, the one good team that they've really beaten was Kansas City, and it was a different Chiefs team then than it is now. But when they have faced that kind of back, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, they've had trouble with that kind of back. So, you know, to your point, was it just a one-week thing? Maybe, you know, maybe you get Latule back and Edmonds gets back in there and it's a better defense. I have a hard time looking into their, like, number one defense rankings across the board. You can beat the Jets and the Dolphins and the Texans and Washington and all that stuff. That's yep. great. And maybe that makes you think that the defense is really, really good. But I don't know. I think at this point, if you're the Bills, you're thinking bigger than that. You were thinking Super Bowl into this year. And to get there, like, this is what's in your way. It's this kind of player, this kind of back, this kind of offense. And, Milano, really good player, but he's more built for that spread kind of game against that kind of quarterback we're talking. Mm-hmm. Edmonds, very good, maybe not as good as they think he is. I don't know. We'll see what they do with him. But defensive line is interesting because they did draft a ton of players, and they should be better than what they're showing against these run-first teams, right? I mean, even if Latule's in or out, you've spent a lot of high draft capital for big bodies up front. Ed Oliver's just not a big body. I don't see that kind of D-tackle really stuffing up the middle. So I think that they're at a crossroad right now. Like, they're going to go one direction or the other, and you might as well just go all in on the kind of team you are and try to win that shootout, try to entice the team into that shootout.
Yes, and I would support that 100%. It's interesting. I was just kind of kidding you said how the website, it's not a venture or a project. Like, soft, it's tough to find opposites in football for words like that, because soft is so damning. Like, mm-hmm. tough, well, everybody says they're tough or wants to be tough. What I want from the Bills, whatever the adjectives are, is a fast, up-tempo, that's the same thing, downfield chunk play passing team that wins no matter what their defense is, like happened last year. And it's very easy to say that, and I'm sure there are serious challenges that you get from teams that have studied you and watched you play in the playoffs, and, like, you know, what the Chiefs have faced from teams like the Bills, who are building to try and stop them. But I mean, I agree with what you said earlier, which is, if they're going to win, they're going to win this way, and if they can't do it, somebody else is going to win this way. And I mean, let's see if Indianapolis can win a Super Bowl the way they play. I just doubt it.
That's the big question. I think they could. I do. Where it's a little damning and a little surprising is I didn't think it would be this lopsided. I mean, talking to Devin Singletary, would have been around April for the feature we had on him. You know, he said that in his conversations with McDermott, Bean, you know, the Bills brass, that they made it pretty clear they knew what the problem was in the playoffs. Like, they had no balance. They had called 20 pass plays to start that Baltimore game. The Kansas City game, didn't really care about the run either. I thought that we'd see some kind of semblance, some kind of commitment to that. But, you know, they just kind of ran it back with everybody. And it seems smart to bring back guys to help you go 15-4 in one game from the Super Bowl, but I think they kind of overvalue some of their own players, Feliciano, Williams, Milano, all these guys. But maybe they should have been more active. Maybe you should go out and try to find just tougher, bigger, stronger players at the point of attack on both sides of the ball, you know, and kind of put your team under the microscope a little bit more, have more critical eye. Because once you pay Josh Allen, it's going to get a lot tougher. You're going to lose some good players as well. they're in that weird spot though now. And I, to your point though too, Mike, on the identity and just kind of owning who you are at this point, we see the problem with McDermott. Like again last week, what do you do? 24-7, right? When they attempted that field goal, 4th and 5 in the wind and the rain, you can't stop a nosebleed, and you're trying a 49-yard field goal. I mean, that was AFC Championship all over again. Yeah. If you're this team that wants to throw it all over the place and win that shootout, like you can't have a coach who's coaching scared. You just can't. And he, in a big moment, he did that again. And we'll see. And I don't know. I get it. It's his approach to be kind of calm and, you know, not really say a heck of a lot after a loss or a win, but I thought that kind of game was so damning and embarrassing that publicly and privately, you know, a little more forceful tack could have helped. But
Mike is probably like sitting there 100% expecting me to say what I'm about to say. That field goal in the third quarter was brutal. The end of the half to me was awful as well. They had a minute 54, all three timeouts, and right from the start, I mean, I got no problem with throwing underneath and getting the 30 yards they got, but they burned a minute and 2 seconds off the clock to get those 30 yards, and they left the field with a timeout still. They could have called a timeout earlier in that drive. The point is, they looked like they were playing for a field goal on that last possession of the half, too, and there was enough time and the full complement of timeouts to me that they should not have been playing for a field goal there either.
It just doesn't seem like the head coach and the offensive coordinator are on the same page. And that's just another instance where wouldn't you just love to be plugged into that headset in moments like that? Like who wants what? You know, he's defensive head coach. You know, he's thinking field goals. He's going to be conservative. And clearly Daboll wants to kind of keep the pedal to the metal. And they're trying to figure out what their identity is. You know, we do that show with Isaiah McKenzie at Go Long. And I asked him this week, like, what is this team's identity? And I think it was difficult for him to answer in a sense, because I don't know if the Bills really do know. I mean, they want to, they've been a pass first team, like he said, and he said it, he brought up the two deep shell, and that's teams are begging them to run and they just aren't able to and aren't really willing to, and neither have the personnel to really do that at this point. So yeah, I would think that every team they play here on out will just be daring and begging and inviting the run. Yet the Bills aren't really built to take advantage of that with their personnel.
We put them 4th in the AFC in our ever-popular reverse power rankings Tuesdays at 3 here on WGR. Is that too high or too low or just right?
That seems just about right.
Thank you.
I don't know if it's time to jump ship. You might see some people reaching for the life rafts right now at One Bills Drive, like, they might do something, you know, ridiculous, like find a scapegoat. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Isaiah McKenzie himself, he's one of the best returners in the league. Does McDermott try to make an example out of something like that? And with Marquez Stevenson back, we'll see. When things start to go bad, the blame game starts, and people start reaching for the life rafts. They got to beat the Saints. It's a zombie Saints team. Everybody's hurt. If they don't beat the Saints, yeah, there'll be some more blame game had.
Wow, it is a road game at night, and New Orleans has been pretty good for kind of a long time. But, yeah, I mean, they're almost a touchdown favorite on the road after that loss last week. So it probably will be pretty tough if they lose.
And furthermore, you're in a dome, so there's no, you know, 25-mile-an-hour wind and rain to worry about. So if you are – you know, you're going to be who they want to be, which is, you know, throw it 45 times a game. You've got an ideal setting to do that in, so there shouldn't be any excuse.
You're right, but then Philly went ahead and ran for like 1,000 yards against them last week. So it will be interesting to see what the mentality is on offense.
Tyler, let's see. Around the league, Kansas City seems – they were first on our list – yesterday. Are they the team to beat again?
Holy cow. I know. And that was a great point I thought McKenzie made, too. He's like, hey, look at the Chiefs. Everybody thought they were dead just a few weeks ago, and now they are the Chiefs. So it can come back. Like, with a couple wins, you know, you can get that mojo back pretty quickly. They did. But it starts on defense. And to answer your question, I think you're right. They've got to be right there, because what Steve Spagnuolo did against Dak Prescott. I mean, I know Dak was missing a couple of receivers, his best receivers, but he didn't have a clue. I mean, he was confused all game. They were blitzing the heck out of him, even though Prescott was the best quarterback in the NFL against the blitz. And Chris Jones, moving him back inside was huge. He had four sacks. He just bowled right through Zach Martin. The fact that defensively they're playing this way and they are pushing people around up front tells you that they're back. And even Mahomes isn't fully himself. He didn't play that great last week. But see, if you've got a quarterback that has that kind of game, but the defense does that, then you find a way to win. And that's the question in Buffalo. If Josh Allen is struggling, can they get pressure up front? Can they have a player just register four sacks against the Dallas Cowboys? We haven't seen that.
You know, go ahead, Bulldog.
I was gonna shift to New England here because, Tyler, for a few weeks before they passed the Bills, I was sort of referring to them as objects in your mirror are closer than they appear. And now they've blown right past, but whatever. They're ahead of the Bills now. And, you know, when I think about how many teams are equipped to do what Indianapolis did or what Tennessee likes to do when they have Derrick Henry, New England is the first team that I think of, right? At least in the AFC. And like that, those two games are looming, and I mean, maybe even lurking, if that's not the same thing. Like those games are enormous.
Should have beat Tampa Bay. Should have beat Dallas. They've been really good most of this season, and only peaking, only trending one direction. And it's almost like Bill Belichick was ahead of everybody with what offensive football could be in 2021. Like, everybody's going nuts over the quarterbacks all offseason. You know, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, all the guys that were drafted in the first round, you know, everybody's just trying to play this game of musical chairs and find their star quarterback. Bill Belichick's like, screw that. I'll just go spend almost $300 million on everybody else. They bring in just big, strong, tough guys on both sides of the ball. And know they want to play good defense, you know, get a few of those COVID guys back, draft. Somehow they get Mac Jones. The NFL lets that happen, which is unbelievable. And they just have a plan. Like, they have a plan for him. They didn't – his playbook early on was so thin, he didn't have to do much at all. And you've just seen it kind of grow week to week to week to a point where some of the throws he's making are driving the ball downfield into tight coverage. And they've got that running game. Yeah, it's a little scary if you're a Bills fan. But the last time we saw these teams play, Buffalo just ran them right out of the stadium. So we're going to see these two styles clash. Like, the Bills are probably just going to try to play that way. Belichick's going to play this other way. Like, what team can kind of dictate their will and their style on the other? I don't know the answer to it, but I can guarantee you Belichick carved out time over the offseason just for Josh Allen, just for this defense, because – you see it week in and week out. He gets inside Tom Brady's head, Dak Prescott's head. He can just, like, he knows these guys better than they know themselves because he's putting in that time in the offseason. They'll have a plan. And, yeah, you put it perfect, Bulldog. It is that object in the mirror that's kind of right there at this point.
No, no time for a preface and, unfortunately, either a long answer. But just when we started talking to you, the Browns would come up a lot. And you know a lot of people in the league. Do you think you know what the Browns are going to do with Mayfield?
That's funny you bring that up right before we popped on this. I was just talking to somebody in Cleveland about this.
Is that right?
Yeah. I don't think either side really knows what they're going to do anytime soon, right? Okay. I think that if I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm beat to hell, right? He's got the torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder, the heel, the knee, and that knee bruise is really rough too. I think he'd like to see a little more stability out of the Browns. You know, his point of view, it's like, okay, like you want to be this run first team, but I don't really have a lot of weapons. Like, let's keep a coach and a GM in place a little longer. And if I'm the Browns, I want to see more out of my quarterback. I want to see him stay healthy. I think that for now, it's just kind of get through this season, see what he does, add it to, you know, the negotiation, see who has what leverage, and then maybe it's best for both sides just to kind of stay together. If I were to guess, I'd say they bring in a Tannehill type, or go with that model that the Titans did when they had Mariota, like somebody who's a backup that could become a starter that has a little pressure on
Mayfield. That's good. They can bring back those jerseys where it had everybody, everybody's name on the back, all the quarterbacks that have played for the Browns since they returned to Cleveland. Oh, it might be time to whip those things back out as another change could be in the offing.
I don't know about Baker's agent, though. I'm just putting that picture right on the table and saying, all right, you know what, my guy? Here you go.
That's right. Same thing could have happened here or in other certain other places. Very good. Tyler, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Thanks, as always, for your time.
No, thank you, guys. Really appreciate the time.
At Ty Dunn, D-U-N-N-E, golongtd.com is the site, 1 year old. Two things next, and then Sal coming up at 5. One is, we'll just call it, what about the beer? And the other is, yesterday I mentioned a little bit of a dilemma I faced in fantasy, whether or not to reach out to somebody that you don't know, but you need them to try this week. I've got an update.
All right.
On that. So a couple of cool things coming up. Sal Capaccio, then picks, then Sabres hockey with the pregame show at 6, Buffalo home to Boston. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Happy Thanksgiving to you. This is WGR.
And some of it's trying to do too much at times, right? And he's aware of that, and just trusting the people around you, and then those people around him have to help and make plays on their end as well.
Sean McDermott on Josh Allen this morning on WGR. He's normally on Fridays, but with the game tomorrow night, it was today. You can find it at WGR550.com or at the Audacy app, AUDACY. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Happy Thanksgiving. Sneaky Joe as well. Joe's looking at a late night. I'm looking at a night, but a shorter night than I think Joe is. Bulldog's making burritos for tomorrow's festivities.
Thanksgiving burritos.
No, not, yeah, right. That'll be Thanksgiving burrito. Tonight it'll be pizza. You know, the freshness pizza. That is Franco's. Yeah, that's a usually, you know, if my wife is hard at work getting things together, that's been a Thanksgiving Eve thing for us for maybe the entire time we've been hosting Thanksgiving. It's just, or you know, Wednesday night, order pizza. So even though we're not hosting tomorrow, I still did that. I know it's just Leo and I, like, we're living like college students here. Like, she's working the next 3 days in a row, and I'm just like, whatever, takeout, let's go. The burritos are prepared already. Really, I just heat that stuff up, so tomorrow is easy. And then I don't know, Friday we'll forage.
Foraging Friday. That should be. It sounds like radio should do something with that.
Yeah.
Friday foraging.
I've got it pretty easy though. I was telling Joe during the break. I know you've got a couple football things we'll get to real quick here.
Yeah.
Our other son Owen, of course, is in New Mexico playing for the New Mexico Ice Wolves of the North American Hockey League. They have a Thanksgiving Eve game in El Paso that they are...
The traditional Thanksgiving Eve game in El Paso.
They are driving to El Paso as we speak. They play at 9 o'clock our time, so they'll, you know, kind of get off the bus and go to the game like they're playing like peewees. And then when the game is over tonight, they will get back on the bus and drive as far as the bus driver is comfortable driving them because they play this weekend in Corpus Christi, Texas. So if you are familiar at all with Texas, El Paso is about as far, I mean, it's right on the border with Mexico, so it's southwest Texas, and Corpus Christi is just about the farthest southeast point in Texas. So they are driving across the southern part of Texas tonight, and then tomorrow, Thanksgiving, will be spent finishing that drive. That's their Thanksgiving. They'll be on the bus driving to go play Corpus Christi on Friday and Saturday.
I love the mystery within. Just we'll get as far as we can.
Right. Yeah. That's what Owen said. I mean, they might have a target. You know, I you know, might guess, because they have a traveling party of, you know, maybe 28 people or so.
It shouldn't be a total guess.
Yeah, I don't think you can just, like, start looking at the Expedia app once you get to San Antonio and go, like, all right, we need 14 hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Might be a little tough.
A little planning is...
So they probably have a plan. He just, you know, said it that way to me, probably being a little cute with it, but anyway.
Alvin Kamara, I'm seeing, just now ruled out.
All right. He's not a surprise,
nope.
But good.
Third game in a row missed for Kamara. Ingram...
Questionable.
Showed up for a part of practice, but not the whole thing.
Ryan Ramczyk, their starting offensive tackle, out. Defensive end Marcus Davenport, out. Their other starting offensive tackle, Terron Armstead, questionable.
Bills have everybody's fine.
Except for the COVID guys. Yep.
Except for the COVID guys who may or may not. Anyway.
It will feel, with them being this injured, I don't even know if I need that. If they lost that game tomorrow. With that version of the Saints and New England and Tampa coming next.
I know. It would feel pretty gross, I think, just because like of the injury point, especially.
Yeah.
At New Orleans has not moved forward to a point where it's just like, you know, I'm gonna assume wins when you're playing that team because they've been good for such a long time, mostly. I mean, they haven't been great all that time, but it just feels like a tough place to win. But, man, yeah, with these circumstances, and the pressure's on. So very, very interesting spot here for the Bills tomorrow. No Kamara, who was great to watch, by the way, if anybody's thinking like that. He's one of my favorite players in the league to watch. Top five, maybe. He is so – why is that? He's just so smooth. Kamara, like he's not somebody who looks like Jonathan Taylor looks huge and fast, and not that the Bills really required this of him last week, but you know, great feet, so he can move. He's got all the tools, right? Kamara is more just kind of like a fine wine, and out of the backfield, it's just so easy. It's 8 yards when you don't even really get it. Kamara all the time, uh-huh. Just so easy. So, you know, he's a big loss, but he's also a running back.
He's the best receiver, too, though, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're coming in without their starting running back, their quarterback, if you want that from earlier in Winston, their tight end in Adam Trautman, who leads them in targets since Simeon became the quarterback, and they didn't have anything to begin with a receiver. They don't have Michael Thomas, so I guess they don't have their starting receiver either, although they haven't had him all year.
And one of their starting tackles and maybe the other.
Yeah, just how do they score? How do they possibly score?
Sean Payton is how they score.
You can't lose. You can't lose to that team. I'm not saying the Bills can't lose, but like figuratively speaking, you can't lose to that team. You better not lose to that team. I shouldn't say can't. You better not lose to that team.
Total is 45.5. Line is 5.5. So 25.5 to 20. That's easy enough to figure out. Implied total for New Orleans 20 points. We'll see. They just gave up. Bills just gave up 41. We'll skip. What about the beer for the moment? I want to follow up on a story from yesterday. So, high stakes fantasy football. My friend Louie and I have a good team. We have a chance at a great spot and money if a certain other team loses this week. But we don't know them, and we don't know the other team he's playing. We don't know any of the people, really. It's sort of like we went to Las Vegas for these drafts, and they could be anywhere. But, you know, whoever they are, they're spending a lot of money on it. So in this particular other game, the team that we need to have win is out of the playoff picture, at least for the most part, other than a miracle. And they don't have a quarterback, because Patrick Mahomes is their only quarterback, and the Chiefs have a bye. So yesterday I brought up with you guys, how do you feel about me reaching out to the person? You know, just to sort of try to find the right way to do it, but sort of make the point, get the point across, hi, we're out here, we need you to care this week. You know, we need you to, and in this league, that means waivers is tonight. It runs tonight. So we would have needed this person to get on waivers today, except unless they were going to find their way to Zach Wilson, who may or may not last through tonight. All the other available quarterbacks in this league play tomorrow, or they're on rosters. So it really needed to be today. Just like a very interesting set of circumstances. So I talked about it with you guys. I talked about it on my podcast last night. I went to bed thinking about this, and I woke up thinking about this. As soon as I woke up, I asked my wife about it. Like, I'm just telling you right up front, this is not a fantasy football question.
Forever.
Yeah. I prefaced it. Like, this is not really a fantasy football question. This is sort of a kind of more of an ethics type question.
Yep. All right.
So, anyway, all that thinking, I got to like mid morning, and I was at the grocery store, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to say something, because if I don't, and the person doesn't make the move, I'll just be mad at myself.
For not at least trying.
Right.
Regardless of whether you might offend the person.
Right.
Right. Because I, for those who weren't with us yesterday, like I'd say pretty strongly advised against doing this. Like I definitely thought I would never do it. And the only question I had about it was at the level you're at in this thing, the high stakes, like, are there different, is it more common to do that sort of thing? But even then I wouldn't be comfortable doing it. But so yeah. You decided to do something.
I wasn't really that comfortable, but I decided that I would be upset with myself if I mm-hmm. didn't, and this failed. So then it was like, all right, so how? And by what means? Like, what do I want to say? How do you know? What do I want? And I decided to be like sort of a little bit, sort of not be like, hey, we need you. Not be, there's no pressure here, right? There's nothing like that. I don't know this guy, and that might more likely elicit a negative response. So it was more just, hi, good luck this week. Happy Thanksgiving. Good luck on waivers. That sort of a message.
Yep.
And 6 minutes later, the guy responded, thank you. Good luck to you. I love your team. It was like the friendliest, quickest possible response, really.
Good.
So
someone, I was going to suggest, I was going to guess that maybe you did that. Somebody on Twitter suggested sort of a lighthearted, hey, big game for me this week. Hope it goes well for you. Like that, something to sort of not seem like you're, demanding this person's attention during a holiday week for fantasy football that they may have given up on, but just sort of, lighthearted, hey, no big deal, but, we need you.
Exactly. That's for the most part what I did and was successful. Successful, that's really to be determined.
Right, you got a response. It doesn't mean he has to do anything.
Or will be successful. Like, who knows how he'd go about it.
I respond lots of time to texts with, I'll think about it, and I'm definitely not thinking about it.
I have enough teams where this will happen. Like, I've got this team that's good and this other one that's not as good, but I'm not giving up. I feel like that's wrong to do. Put some effort into it. But, Bulldog, I'm not putting all the effort into it. I don't have time for it anyway. I'll just put a couple of things in, to represent. It's not going to matter to me whether I'm successful. What matters to me is to not blow it off. So maybe this is some form of that. I mean, it's relative, but I'm putting a little bit into it. And if it's, hopefully that's good enough. But whatever, it's not. It's that team's season is over. So that's what that's what sort of has scared me about this. But anyway. That's fantasy. Just like you can only control on the field, in the league. There's only so much you can control. But I wanted to share that it seemed like it was well received because I think it should be okay to say something. It's how you say it, like so many things.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sal, well done. Yeah,
thanks. We'll call you in the morning with late tonight with an update. So you don't have to wonder.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We'll break in to coverage of the Sabres game with the update. All right. Sal coming up at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Happy Thanksgiving. This is WGR.
But, yeah, 8 goals is great. It's tough to score goals in this league. I think the best teams in this league, I've always said it, defense is essential, but it's pretty simple, defensive side of the game. Scoring goals is really hard, and lots of teams can't, outscore their mistakes. The best teams outscore their mistakes. It's just that simple. The best teams outscore their mistakes because they make mistakes too.
Always like hearing Don Granato talk like that. The teams who can score have the best players, right? The best players are the ones who can manufacture those goals. It's just nice to not have to hear about hard work all the time. Because, defense, I might say, is more effort. Mm-hmm. And, it should be a given. I mean, it's annoying to hear coaches talk about that so much. Really, from the pros, I want to assume that. I know you always can't. But still, he's just got a nice way about him in terms of this stuff, I think. And, I often like what he's talking about. Now, can't, this is when somebody says, like, that said, can they win games?
Yeah.
You know, and will he be around long enough to see a Sabres team that can, you know, actually win games? We'll see. But I hope if it doesn't turn out that way that we're not going to disparage the, you know, the concepts that he's talking about, because I feel like we shouldn't do that. We've got Sabres and Bruins tonight, pregame at 6, Paul Hamilton then. Sal Capaccio tells us he's a little bit behind getting into New Orleans, so we're going to say now 5:30 is the plan for Sal. Maybe we'll do picks.
What are we going to do at 5 o'clock then?
Then picks, and I've got a beer thing, and also I've got a mystery guest game for you guys.
Yeah, picks are not going to take the big segment. I mean, there's three games, and
okay.
We need stuff. Yeah, yeah.
They could.
That's all right.
But they don't have to. That's right. They don't have to.
Right.
But
right.
I do have information of an upcoming mystery guest.
Oh, my.
And you guys maybe will throw a 20 questions around on that.
Oh, I'm as good as that. I'm as good at that usually as I was at yesterday's
Saints coaches.
Saints coaches and quarterback combinations where I guess Jerry Glanville, who never coached the Saints.
Listen, all you need to do with this game is, you know, yes or no answers only, questions that will bring about yes or no answers, and you're just trying to narrow the pool. You're trying to narrow the pool of possible answers. You know, you got this.
I feel like I might be the worst 20 questions player in the history of 20 questions.
Oh, my.
I just think I'm bad. I'm bad. I mean, I understand. I mean, I appreciate you giving me the blueprint. I think I understand what I should do. I just don't feel like I execute very well. I'm well coached.
You can do it. I need you to do it. I need you to do well.
I think we did get – didn't we get the last – I feel like we got one recently, and I was pretty happy about it.
It was baseball. Dave Parker.
Okay.
Was the last time we played this, I think. I mean, you can play it the way my kids would play it. Okay, you guys, you have 20 questions, yes or no answers only. Who is it going to be? Go. Question one, Julius. Is it LeBron James?
Right.
No. No. Okay, who's got question two? All right, it's not LeBron James.
Right.
By the way, while I'm here, I'll just tell you, it's also not LeBron James.
Okay.
Next week, but I'm excited about it. Oh, okay, time for a break. Sal next hour, Sabres pregame, and then the Sabres game. Even better coming up tonight. Happy Thanksgiving. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.